Coming up on American Parlor Songbook. Join us for sketches, stories, and songs on health and fitness. Comedian Stephen Bennequist is back, and singer Rosa Pullman performs.
I don't know. I think it needs to be more motivational. Like, if we're going to get in shape, it's going to have to start with your face.
My face?
Well, there's plenty of muscles in there too, right? So you have to use them.
Okay. How do I do that?
Well, here, just think of your words as a tiny athlete.
Okay.
And your tongue is the track.
Got it.
And your lips are the hurdles.
Logically.
So when I say go, you really give those words a workout.
Yes, coach.
On your marks. Get set. Go.
Load up on ABS. Let's get fit with Stephen Bennequist and Rosa Pullman.
And timer. Judges? Oh, sorry, bronze medal.
Aw.
It's okay. Nobody's listening.
Whew. This is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And on the other microphone, we're attached at the hip, because I'm terrible at putting on a belt, Julie Van Dusen. Health, fitness, well-being. Just try and stay alive, really. That's what it's all about, right? Maybe feel okay while you do it. The body tends towards falling apart, though, so it's an uphill battle. And the hill gets steeper as you age. You need that positive attitude. It gets harder and harder to keep your chin up, mostly because your nose doesn't stop growing and it tips your wrinkled face right over. They say you're as young as you feel. They've obviously never felt your waddle. You have to take care of your body, sure, but don't forget about your mind. I guess that is part of your body. It's just stuck in there somewhere. Wellness doesn't end at your muscles and your organs. No, it's between your ears there in that abstract space of the mind. Mental health, you maniacs. Don't just eat right and exercise. Think straight and empathize. I probably shouldn't talk. I'm eating a hoagie and vlogging about the flat earth as I record this. Show me what you're made of, muscle and grit. Faster than a cannonball, quick as a rocket. Well fit. Imagine cavemen looked very fit. Nice beards, big hair, toothy, naked, a little disheveled. Sort of Barry Gibb stumbling out of Studio 54 at 5 a.m. They had that lean muscle from all that running around. They didn't plan much, no. They just kind of ran for their lives to stay in shape. They didn't live very long, though. You know, poor hygiene, disease, nutrition, lions. We always like to fight, right? And it wasn't long before we were fighting wars. To get good at it, young men would practice, you know, crawling, jumping, running, refining their skills for the battle, conditioning those muscles. Everyone loves a hero, so those attributes became celebrated, and by the ancient Greeks, we'd started showing them off. You know, athletic pageants, competitions, sports, the Olympics. Naked dudes with javelins. What could go wrong? If you're going to pole vault, for God's sakes, wear pants. Anyway, it was celebrated. And the art honed in on that muscular physical beauty, right? And it became fashionable, desirable outside the battlefield and the playing field. You just wanted to walk around with a sound mind and a sound body. The Greeks, the Romans, they were hot. They had to be. They were only wearing togas. But all of civilization went flabby. The Middle Age. Like so many middle-aged uncles, so too in the Middle Age of man did the body go to hell. Divorced from aesthetics and moved into the bachelor motel of the Dark Ages. The body was sinful. The church kept it covered up. Broken backs in the field and a couple of potatoes a week. No time for sit-ups or nutrition, no. And not a doctor in sight for 1,000 years. It took until the Renaissance to make a comeback, when science got cool again, anatomy, biology. And Da Vinci drew the ideal man, the Vitruvian man, right, in that circle, you know, the naked guy with the arms out like a windmill, right? Unfortunately, it did create a wave of unhealthy dysmorphia as men around the world attempted the unattainable physique of four arms and four legs. Show me what you're made of, muscle and grit. Faster than a cannonball, quick as a rocket. Well, and as well fit. the dawn of the 20th century, an industry started sprouting up around fitness and wellness, right? It bottled and sold, vitality in a jar, feel the vim and vigor, feel very, very happy. But how does it work? Why, morphine, of course. It was in everything. Yeah, simpler times. You know, the first fitness magazine was published in 1899. Bernard McFadden, he was hawking a wall-mounted muscle developer. He invented it, right? He was trying to drum up sales, so he came up with the magazine to help push it. He became the first fitness guru, like an early Richard Simmons without the little striped shorts. Invented the physique competition. He got the medicine ball rolling on what is our modern fitness industry. Set off the next 100 years of exercise devices. Belly-shaking rubber bands, springy stretchers, rolling pin pusher-uppers, thigh masters, shake weights, bow flexors, and Nordic tracks. All shipped directly to your door. They should offer a service where they ship them directly to the back of your garage. And they even post the Craigslist ad for you. Show me what you're made of, muscle and grit. Faster than a cannonball, quick as a rocket. Well, as well, and as well fit. In the 21st century, they figured it out. What food is good for you and what food is bad for you, definitively for the last time until next week. I suspect that there's an all-carb diet fad on the horizon, and I'm looking forward to it. Whatever you do, don't tune into a podcast, because you're liable to end up knee-deep in supplements. It starts to get hard how to know how to get well. Do you intermittently fast, or do you consistently slow? More cardio or more weights? Omega-3 or eat human growth hormone like bonbons? That'll definitely buff up your forehead, I know that much. I guess really just eat okay and move around. I don't know, don't ask me. This piano's on a waterbed and there's a deep fryer where the top octave should be. If you hear me yelp, I've arpeggioed past C sharp. Anyway, we're going to get fit this week and find a little wellness for our bodies and minds. Stick around. You have to do it at least 30 minutes 3 times a week.
Show me what you're made of, muscle and grit. Faster than a cannonball, quick as a rocket. Well, and as well fit.
And as always, if you are offended by something you hear on the program this week, I don't know, maybe you're a disgruntled CrossFitter, knee-deep in a paleo-induced ketogenic rage, and you just have to correct my ridiculous commentary here, feel free to tweet me directly at TheJPHouston, and you'll be promptly ignored. Now, staying healthy is a struggle, sometimes not entirely in our control, especially here in America, with the healthcare system, right? Insurance companies denying coverage, that kind of thing. But even with universal coverage, problems can arise. Case in point, a New Zealand man, and this is absolutely true, a New Zealand man was denied coverage for gastric bypass surgery. So he did the only logical thing, and he went on a hunger strike to get the weight loss treatment. Needless to say, the irony was lost on him. So there he lay in bed, protesting his weight loss surgery by losing weight. Here's how I imagine his protest song would have gone.
All my life I'm a hungry man with a penchant for a pie. But my biggest thirst isn't justice served by a gas bypass passed by. So the fat cat's up in towers high, gonna taste my hunger strike. But I'm so dumb starved by the lack of feet that the irony is lost on me. And I shall not be moved by crane or truck or rail. Justice will be proved if I must starve frail. And I will steadfast stand, not a morsel mauled, nothing mouth to hand, till I am made small. You'll excuse me here for my protest cries. How could I ever have known? My demands would settle, much to my surprise, entirely on their own.
Now, We'll be hearing special in-studio performances this week from a great singer-songwriter from California. Ladies and gentlemen, Rosa Pullman.
So this is a song called Coyote Moon, also called the Kitchen Song, because it's the first song I ever really wrote and walked down the kitchen to play it for my mom. Well, I'm weak in the knees, and I'm carrying these dreams, and I'm on this road that keeps turning. I think I'll burn down this house, let it crumble to the ground. When the cold winds blow, I'm leaving. And now the smoke rises high, there's a thunder in the sky, and a raven flies over my shoulder. I'm just a new desert rat, I've got my ticket and my map, but the signs in the sands keep shifting. Oh, but hey, can't you see this? No chains on me, I'm free as I can be. So I sit by this road and watch them go as the wind carries them home. But I've got my ticket to Rome. Now the shadow's getting longer, and the whiskey's getting stronger, and they keep coming over to me. Some are burnt, some are soaked, some are laughing as they choke, but they lay down those cards and they gamble. And a new coyote moon, it pushes through the hue of the smoke and the fog and the brambles, and through the cracks in the walls and the mirrors in the halls, you can see yesterday's in shambles. Oh, but hey, can't you see? As the wind, it carries me home. 'Cause I've got this ticket to Rome. And when you travel this long, your heart plays like a song, and the days and the nights, they get even. And when those new fallen leaves start skipping on the breeze, well, maybe it's time for leaving. Well, 'cause hey, can't you see? As the wind, it carries me home, and I've got my ticket to Rome. La 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 la. La, 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 la.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. From the shed out back of the main house, this is InfoStorm with your host, Aaron White.
Welcome to the storm, Mega Nation. I'm Aaron White. I've done it, Patriots. I've mailed out an invitation to the Truth Party, and all you need to do is RSVP. There will be chips, there will be soda, and there will be supplements. High-quality supplements like InfoStorm Man Up, available in our web store. Man Up Masculine Enhancement Supplements are formulated especially for hate-induced male issues. It's hard to maintain that forehead-pounding rage required to fight the deep state's mind rays when you're left depleted and feminized by the gender-fluid New York elite. Don't let the leftists win. Man Up with Man Up Supplements, made with real liberal tears, available on our website now. Get ready, MAGAites. Hire a crane. Now, gently remove the top of your house, set it aside. Now, go to your sock drawer, slide it out, and place the contents safely inside your basement bunker. Because what our next guest is about to say is liable to blow the roof off and knock your socks all over the place. Joining us in the bunker, the face of the anti-vax movement, mother, Facebook commenter, activist, Sarah Lohara. Welcome to the program, Sarah. What's that, Sarah? For the listeners at home, Sarah's sporting a nifty duct tape X over her mouth, I'm assuming to symbolize the silencing of dissenting alternative opinion by the lamestream media, correct? No, here, allow me, Sarah. Yoink.
Oh, thank you, Aaron.
The X symbolizing the oppression of your First Amendment rights.
No, no. I fell asleep on my couch.
Yeah, exhausted from fighting the good fight, awakened by a sudden vision to express your oppression with the most American of tapes, duct.
Well, the tape was covering the rip in my sofa, and I woke up with it stuck to my face.
So you left it there in an inspired protest?
Okay.
All right, then. That's settled. A moving protest. Sarah. Sarah Barra. Sarah Barra Boo Boo Barra. Sarah O'Hara. Sarah Bo Barra. Me my Mo Barra. Sarah, tell us why the elite used your couch to silence you today.
Because I am the loudest, most annoying voice against the poisoning of our children.
Poisoned by the very vaccines that are supposed to protect them.
Unneeded protection from harmless diseases.
That's right, harmless. For example, me, as a boy, I had back-to-back measles, mumps, rotavirus, tetanus, and whooping cough.
Yum.
And it had absolutely no effect on me. My infertility, occasional psychosis, are obviously due to government microwaves and chemtrails. Give me polio any day.
Oh, me too, Aaron. Were it not for the fact that my right to contract anything has been infringed upon by unconsented childhood vaccination.
So, I'm so sorry, Sarah. They got to you, huh?
No, Aaron, no, it's all right, because it was destiny. If it weren't for my own vaccination, I would not carry the proof that will bring down the deep state secret agenda.
The proof?
Oh, it's undeniable.
Batten down the hatches, Patriots. It's about to get bumpy.
This is incontrovertible.
Checking the dictionary. I'll accept it.
Earth-shattering.
Flat earth-shattering.
Mind-blowing fact that vaccines cause brain damage.
Hold on. Wow. So you're saying...
That I was vaccinated.
Checkmate, elite. The proof is in the mushy brain pudding right there between Sarah's cauliflowered ears. Your move, lizards. We'll be right back with more nonsense. Now it's about time for another song from Rosa Pullman.
Sunlight in the city, moving slow, gives me a peaceful kind of feeling in my soul. And was I dreaming, or did I hear you calling me? Did I hear you calling me? Well, I believe I'm ready for you. 'cause I believe I'm ready for you. 'Cause every soul has a different kind of rhythm, and sometimes it swings high, and sometimes it swings low. And you know about struggles, but you just keep on moving through. I said you keep on moving through, and I believe I'm ready for you. Oh, I do. Well, I believe I'm ready for you. 'Cause all the tears, you know I've cried, they have gone away and they have dried. And I believe I'm ready for you. I do. Yes, I believe I'm ready for you. Hey, yeah, I believe I do. Well, I believe I do. Yeah, I believe well, I believe I'm ready for you.
Rose's most recent collection, From the Halo to the Boulevard, is available online at your finer download and streaming services. Let's have another song from Rosa Pullman.
This song is called Take It Back.
Did you wonder, did you look for me from the ether, from the mystery? 'Cause I don't see you now, but you know I wish I could. How does it feel? Oh, I wish you would take it back. Oh, take it back. Oh, Take it back. Oh, take it back. Oh, can you see in the dark? See your heart lead you where you need to be. No worries, no more. Open. Ever since we were kids, we were always playing, and you always had the best games. But sometimes they were scary, they were dangerous, and I guess I could have seen there was pain behind, and I would take it back. Oh, take it back. Oh, take it back. Oh, take it back. Oh, in the season of light, be my sight. Show me the way. I know you can. You've been given a gift, so use it. Find a way. I know you can, 'cause you see in the dark, could see your heart lead you where you need to be, and no worry no more. Open the door, find a way. I love you more. So let it rain, let it pour, let it wash upon my soul. I can take it, I can make it, I can even love you. Let it rain, let it pour,
Let it wash upon my shore. I can take it, I can make, I can even love you more. I can even love you more. I can even love you more. Let it rain, let it pour, let it wash upon my shore. I can take it, I can make it, I can even love you more.
School was an excruciating, paint-drying, head-against-the-desk-banging slog. Watching the minute hand slowly drag time up the hour like Sisyphus and his dumb rock, every afternoon the same thing, listening to the Charlie Brown trombone teacher whine on and on and on, batting away spitballs from the dumb kid across the room. You were bound there by law, strapped in tight to learn against your will until 3 p.m., and there was only one way out. Get sick. Oh, I loved weekday television, mostly because it meant I wasn't at school. The Price is Right, oily Bob Barker and his 3-foot, pencil-thin microphone. It was back when dish soap was 50 cents, and stiff Barbie doll ladies showcasing the showcase stood around looking pretty, and, well, the color saturation was up to 100%, and the lapels were up to 150%. I suspect if a man in 1979 ran too fast, he'd take off. Disease had a field day in our overcrowded city classrooms. A single lice could hop from kid to kid and take out the whole school. We'd have to line up in the hall for head checks and even TB tests, and then, well, in the winter, it was a mucus battlefield, kids dodging sneezes like volleyballers. With all those loose, uncovered sneezes and hacks out there, the flu flew. My mother was nervous. If you were looking for a sustainable energy source back then, harnessing her worry probably would have been a game changer. Her worry we'd be sick was only outfretted by her worry that we'd miss school and flunk out. So to get away with it, I took to chewing up oatmeal cookies and making Ralph sounds, and the old heat up the thermometer trick on the lamp routine. And 1 week, harvesting backyard insects in a phony lice infestation scheme. Yes, I was willing to put bugs in my hair to watch the Merv Griffin show. Contagious, but not sick, was the best kind of school misser. You see, they couldn't let you in the door, but you were just itchy. So, you could still play. And once my parents were gone for work, well, I had no qualms about infecting the neighbors, covered in bugs, riding up and down the hills, delivering infestation like a cruel paperboy. Our house was stacked children deep like flapjacks. Not just the ones my parents made, but, well, every kid in the neighborhood trotting in and out of that place. Well, it was a 3-bedroom, semi-detached brick petri dish. But we were tougher back then. Back in the halcyon pre-hand sanitizer golden age, when you could touch raw chicken without diving for cover, and when your can-cutting Ginsu knife could go straight to an onion and not salmonella kill the whole family. In just a few years, everybody'd freak out and start doing dishes in hazmat suits. But, well, for now, we were safe to ride our helmetless skinny skateboards straight into an E. coli pond if we saw fit. Sister Nikki was the first to go down, a single red dot between her Christy McNichol bangs. And by the next day, she was red-riddled like a Godfather hit. She was immediately quarantined out of the 3-shared bed and cordoned off on her own. Don't touch your sister, she's contagious. Well, realistically, Mom, she's been contagious all along. Just stay away from her, or I'll get what she's got, and I'll miss a week of school. In the Canadian classroom, we were being clockwork orange tortured by our gentle ex-hippie teachers. Out behind the school, there was a bin filled with discarded traditional folk songs. A lonely she'll be coming around the mountain, a dejected on top of Old Smokey. When those Woodstockers became our teachers, they threw the lot of them out and they forced us to sing Gordon Lightfoot songs. I can still, to this day, tell you more than I should know about Lake Gitchigumee. I saw those red dot chicken pox as a surefire way out, And easy time, too. A few itches, big deal. A fair trade for a week of Hot Dogs and Flintstones reruns. Oh, don't touch your sister. Sure, I won't touch my sister when you're looking. The defense was tight. Separate rooms, strict bathtub order, staggered meal times. I looked for a way around the laundry. Oh, yes, that unguarded clothes pile in the basement. I'm just going to go down and listen to some records, slip down the stairs, turn up Billy Joel for cover, and dive in the pile, roll around, hoping for some secondhand stray germ or two. Nothing. The clock was ticking. Once those dots dried up, I'd be out of luck. Stuck back in the classroom at the bottom of the great lake they call Gitche-Gumee. I tried rubbing my face on the doorknob to the quarantine room. Nothing. Those chicken pox had bounced around the house and itched out five siblings without so much as a spot on me. Near misses as I reached for a sip from a discarded juice box smacked out of my hand just in time by my eagle-eyed mother. You know, Warden, you can't be everywhere always. If you so much as blink, I'll be into those sweet, sticky germ juices faster than you can say Andromeda strain. And then I saw it. A window in the security. All I had to do was stay awake long enough. I lay up in bed, toothpicks propping my eyes open, because I knew, after an hour of Dom DeLuise laughing it up on The Tonight Show, my dad would shut off the set, go upstairs, and hit the hay. I slithered out of the bed and listened carefully at the vent. Da-da-da-da-da, click. Then the stairs, creak, click, lights out. Make your move, kid. Make it count. I commando crawled down the hall up to the forbidden door and gingerly creaked it open, just enough to snake through against the wall. Creak, shh, shh, careful, 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 and as gentle as a Bob Ross stroke, I brushed against my sister's arm. The dull sun broke the brown blinds and hit my sleep-stuck eyes in the morning. I heard the kitchen below in early action. Another day in the day school, Peter, Paul, and Mary doldrums. Peel back the covers and yawn and stretch and scratch. Was that a scratch or a scratch? A scratch or a scratch? Scratch scan down my arm past the three-week-old stick-on anchor tattoo. Freckle, 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 spot. Thank contagious Jesus, a genuine, bona fide chicken pox spot. Free at last, I ran down the hall to my mom. See, see, chicken pox. Have fun at work, Mom. Chicken pox. And then, like a pathetic infected king with a big bowl of ice cream, Bob Barker on the big square TV box, and a week of the most terrible, excruciating, burning, itching, and tingling, worth every scratch.
Fading down for a day out of class. Catch a case for a 7-day pass. Pox and scars and playing catch with the sun and shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. And we're back here on American Parlor Songbook. And our episode on health and fitness. Here with a piece on the tobacco industry, our one-man sketch comedy band, Stephen Benequist.
And we are back on the record in the deposition of Dr. Lyle Forbes in the matter of the state of Missouri versus Nicotinovations LLC. Could you all state your names for the record?
Nesbitt Carruthers, defense counsel. Paul Cohen, plaintiff's counsel.
Lyle Forbes, deponent.
You are an addiction expert, Mr. Forbes.
Yes.
And it is your opinion that some of the products manufactured by Nicotinovations LLC may be addictive?
No, not maybe, are. And not some, all.
Could you please be more specific for the record, please?
Everything you sell is impregnated with nicotine.
Objection. While I appreciate your zeal, we must speak literally while on the record. These products have not been fertilized, as you suggest.
Fine. Loaded up with nicotine. Mouth rinse, dental floss, tongue depressors, oral thermometers, other thermometers, children's pacifiers, suppositories.
Yes. And what's the problem with that? The nicotine content is clearly noted on the packaging.
All of your products are highly addictive.
Addictive is such a pejorative term, and isn't the point really whether or not these products do any harm?
No. No, the point of the suit is, are they addictive? That's why I've been retained as the addiction expert.
Well, I admit, our products are designed to make you want to use them more and more. Like every successful product, isn't it a good thing to want to floss more? To rinse your mouth more? I know my clients are grateful for it.
Mr. Carruthers, average use of your client's products is 10 times daily.
Damn, even the suppositories? Objection, irrelevant.
They're wearing their gums out.
Then they're using them wrong. Listen, cars. Four-wheeled ordinary cars. Kill people. Every day. People who misuse them, that is. Now, do we stop selling Fords and Chevys? No.
Cars aren't addictive.
What is your definition of addictive, Dr. Forbes?
If you must have a thing and crave it.
So by that definition, food is addictive.
Humans need food to live.
What about McDonald's? That garbage arguably does more harm than good, yet some people eat it every day. Objection, misleading. Fine. What about candy? Children's candy, Forbes. Objection, it's Dr. Forbes.
Candy contains calories and could sustain a starving person or be a part of a larger, more nutritious diet.
Yes, and it could rot out your teeth and give you diabetes. Isn't it true that we only eat candy for pleasure?
I'm not qualified to answer that.
If pleasure were not a part of eating, we could just eat blocks of protein, fat, and fiber, like astronauts or prisoners. It makes my mouth water just thinking about those blocks of protein and fat and fiber. Objection, just because some food causes pleasure does not negate the fact that it is necessary to sustain life. So a thing is addictive when you crave it, but it is not necessary for life.
Well, yes.
I see. Then, is a beautiful sunset addictive? Is the smell of your wife's perfume on your anniversary addictive? Is the twinkle in a proud grandfather's eye addictive? Objection. As he dandles his boo-boo on his knee, is knee dandling addictive? Objection. We are not talking about knee dandling. Fine. What about music? Certainly not necessary for a full life. Just ask the deaf. Objection. Just kidding. Ask people with musical anhedonia. But I myself once had to listen to the Commodores, She's a Brick House, over and over for 2 hours straight. Tell me, is the funk addictive?
In my experience, no.
Ah, there's the rub. Pleasure, my friend, is subjective. I like this, you like that. I like chocolate, you like Tutti Frutti. I like Robert De Niro, you like John Leguizamo. I like Nabokov, you like Tom Clancy. Objection, you are making them like all the crappy stuff. I'm making a point. I like vacationing in Europe, you like Reno, Nevada. I like the Marx Brothers, you like Jeff Dunham. Will you please stop insulting my client?
Actually, it's eerie how right on he is.
All I'm saying is, one man's Waylon Jennings is another man's Iggy Azalea.
What if I like both?
No one likes both.
Excuse me, could everyone slow down, please? Please. I need to hear everyone clearly.
Yes, I'm sorry. Let's not make your job any harder, and, in fact, I'll bring this to a conclusion. Are you arguing, Dr. Forbes, that anything that causes pleasure and makes you keep wanting more of it and is not essential for life should be banned?
No, just controlled so that it's not so pleasurable as to be irresistible or, if you will, addictive.
I see. So, for example, the song Woman by John Lennon. It has that great part where he goes, I love you, whoa, whoa. Man, that part's like heroin in your ear. But then there's the other annoying part. Na, 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 like a little taunting baby. Sort of balances it out.
Well, yes.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. Oh, sorry.
Or, to give one final example, take a radio variety program stacked with great music and comedy, providing, as you would say, Doctor, too much joy. Perhaps it should have a ponderous, show-stopping sketch, maybe even about lawyers, that just puts the brakes on the fun and brings the show to a grinding halt. Is that the idea?
Exactly.
Thank you. No further questions.
Comedian Stephen Benequist. You can find information about Steve and his comedy at stephenbenequist.com. We have enough time for one more song from Rosa Pullman.
This one's called Angeles. I wrote it when I was in Paris, France, thinking about Los Angeles. La, 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 la. La la la, be my little honeybee. Don't you make the honey sweet? And where, oh, where you gonna be when I meet my destiny, Angeles? I see, won't you please? Look at me. Wait, let me start it over.
Yeah, that's good. That's a perfect choice.
Okay. La 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 la. Traveling, traveling way across the sea. Ain't it wild? Ain't it sweet? Oh, eyes, eyes, oh, open on the side where I keep my company. Angeles, I see, won't you please?
That's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You can find information about the program
Wendell.
On our website,
AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Wendell!
Good Lord, Martha, I thought it was an earthquake. Why on earth are you jumping around on the bed?
It's time to move, flab bag. We're getting in shape.
It's the middle of the night.
The early bird gets the muscles.
That's not the expression, Martha.
Fine. Early to bed, early to, I don't know. It makes a man healthy, wealthy, and buff. Now let's go, Tubbo.
Can't it wait until the morning, please?
No, you need to tighten up a little before we start rolling.
Rolling where?
Contrary to your ball-like physique, we're not rolling anywhere. The camera is doing the rolling.
On what?
On your big behind if you don't drop that water weight, and pronto.
By morning.
Works for Conor McGregor.
And those cameras you're talking about?
For my fitness program, of course.
I should have guessed.
Who better to motivate and profit off the world's saddest fatties?
Martha Young.
Fitness guru.
What do you know about fitness?
I'm 90 pounds, Wendell.
Yes, but you haven't exercised a day in your life.
Because I'm a natural.
A natural at procuring diet pills, sure.
So I get a little help.
Are you going to include that in your little program?
Oh, of course. That's rule number 3.
I'm afraid to ask about 1 and 2.
Binge, purge, then pills.
Good Lord, Martha.
Well, if you don't like those, you're going to hate number 4.
Repeat?
No, you have to burlesque, party, blackout, and make bail before you repeat.
So what do you call this new fad of yours?
Martha Young's Better Than Jane Fonda Workout.
Original.
Well, there's no way I'm passing up the opportunity to take that cow down a peg or two.
What did Jane Fonda ever do to you, Martha?
Stole my role in Barbarella.
You turned that down.
Well, that was before I knew it was a hit.
Sound logic.
All right, enough of the snarky banter. You've got dehydrating to do.
What do I have to do with this video of yours anyway?
Well, I can't just stand there alone. I need some fatties in the background for the viewers to relate to.
So I'm a background fatty.
Yes, but not that fatty. Let's go. 2 pounds by sunrise.
Thank you. I'll pass.
Yes, sooner than you think if you don't start exercising.
I did pass my last physical, something you couldn't say.
I passed it with flying colors.
Rip Taylor's confetti popper doesn't count.
Dr. Frank said, A+, huzzah! And confetti, flying colors, same difference.
Who throws a party for their physical?
Fitness guru Martha Young, that's who.
All right. So where are you selling this dangerous catastrophe of yours?
Where else but late-night television, just after my special pillow and right before Men's Hair Club.
Oh, I'm sure you'll break the Nielsen's meter.
Oh, you'd be surprised how many people are too lazy to change the channel.
Hundreds.
Oh, millions! They're saying I'll get a 20 share.
20% of the 4 a.m. insomnia crowd.
Exactly. Sleepy and susceptible.
Martha, you're taking advantage.
No, there's nothing wrong with a little profiteering while improving their lives.
Improving. Binge, purge, repeat isn't exactly holistic.
No, you're right. So we'll drop those. I've still got dance, party, and outrun the authorities.
What about a little eat well and do some calisthenics? How about that?
Oh, that's boring.
Boring old discipline is the way to success, Martha.
Look at me, Wendell, look.
All right.
Tell me what you see.
I see a retired actress desperate for attention.
Naturally. And?
Well, you are slim.
Oh, thank you.
You are full of energy, too.
At your service.
Despite years of utter pandemonium and general chaos.
Don't forget Bedlam.
And Bedlam. Despite too much fun and partying, there you are at the ripe age of 90-something years old. Still going strong somehow.
Exactly. My method is foolproof.
Hmm.
It's a program of freedom and fun. Wake up early, every morning at 1 p.m. Mimosas. Down to the pool for clothing optional swim. Oh, would you look at that? It's happy hour already. Time for some stress-reducing libations. Then a light dinner. And dance, baby, dance! Now turn up that yakety sax. It's time for a delightful chase around the grounds, followed by a few porky security guards. Claim dementia, and presto! You're fit as a fiddle.
I suppose it works for you.
And the MasterCard-holding insomniacs around the country. Operators are standing by.
All right, Martha, you win. I have to admit it is a new angle. That has done well by you.
Excellent. Now roll over. I have to wrap you in cellophane.
In the morning, dear, I insist. That can be rule number 7. How about that? Number 7, a good night's rest. No, here, as you'll understand it. Number 7, always get your beauty sleep.
Oh, of course, you're right. I almost forgot about the beauty sleep from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the most important part of my regime.
Perfect. It's settled now. Lie down beside me and we'll get you started with a nice lullaby.
Number 8, a lullaby from a real beefcake.
At your service.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Fears run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinholed skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.